You may be fanning yourselves, we apologize, but one of our air conditioners gave up the ghost this weekend. We're going to try to find out what's going on with it, but we thank Brother Ronnie for being here to go and pull the plug on it before it burned itself up. So, and just want to thank everyone again for being here. September 10th, no big deal. But then on the other hand, when you say 9/11, it becomes a different issue, doesn't it? I'm not going to do a 9/11 sermon. As you flip through the TV stations today and listen to the different pastors, everything seemed to be about 9/11. I don't think any of us here will forget that day. We may not have personally lost loved ones in that event, but we all can probably, you always hear throughout history, where were you on this day? You talk to folks who were alive during the time when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. They can tell you where they were and what they were doing. I can tell you where I was the moment that first plane hit the tower. I know exactly where I was. I think most of us do. It's something that is so catastrophic that it just hits our minds and it just is forever ingrained in who we are, experiences we've lived. But I don't want to go down that road. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe the things that are happening today are the sign of the times? I do. I believe the things that we see are part of the prophetic word of God. That these things will come to pass in the end days. So we just throw up our hands and quit, right? No, we don't. So many times people say, you know, I would follow God if He just gave me a sign. He gives us signs every day. Some people, they get the sign that they're looking for from God, and then they ignore it. There's a story of a pastor and a couple of deacons who were out standing by the side of the road, pounding a sign into the ground. And the sign read, "The end is near. Turn yourself around now before it's too late." A car raced past, and as they did, the driver yelled out, "Leave us alone, you religious nuts!" From the curve, they heard screeching tires and a big splash. Pastor turned to the deacon and asked, "Do you think we maybe should have just put a sign out that said, 'Bridge out'?" You know, isn't that funny? How anything that comes from a Christian don't want anything to do with it. Anything that someone gets a perception has to do with God don't want anything to do with it. But I'll bet you had they put a sign up that said "Bridge out," that person would have stopped. It's hard to believe, but some would have probably gone on anyway just to see, make sure. We're all looking for signs. But you know what? What about those signs that we already have that we continue to carry with us wherever we go? What about those signs that we've put on ourselves? Those signs that someone may have spoken it to us early in our life and we believed it. What about those signs that perhaps something, a tragic event in our life occurred, and it's ingrained in us so much that we still carry that sign? I just want a couple volunteers. I don't know any situation here. So if you get a sign and it offends you because it's hitting too close to home, it's an accident or God's talking to you. So come here. Come on up here. I just want, as I give you this sign, I just want you to walk around just one or two times so everybody can see your sign. Just go ahead and walk around. Sherrick, come here. She just became rebellious. Miss Laverne,
okay,
you thought you were going to get out of it, didn't you? You became angry.
Oh, okay.
You can, but... Oh, brother, I'm sorry. I just can't trust you, because he's a liar. Come on up, Bonnie. Ooh, that's a tough one. She's a murderer. This is a tough one, folks. I was molested. The reason I'm putting this one on, I don't want anyone else to have maybe have been in that situation and accidentally get that sign. Who else? Who's going to help me? Jack? Come here. If your wife is up walking around, you can too. Come here. Jack's worthless. Come here, Mel. Mill's a cheat. Hold on, let me look through these lists. Now, this is as far from the truth as they can be here. She'll work you into the dirt, but today she's lazy.
And I have no shoes.
And she has no shoes. All right, there you go. Watch out. Thief in the house. We got one more. Who's going to be the victim on this one? I won't even show you what it is. Okay, you're looking at me. Come on. Yeah, I'm serious. That's what Jody always says. Don't make eye contact with him. You realize this has nothing to do with anything, all right? Today she became an adulterer. Now, I want you to just walk around, and then I want you to make your way back to your seat, but keep your sign on. Many of us, this is what we do. We've been through trauma. We've been through events that have shaped our lives, and we still carry the sign. We still carry the sign. We still believe deep down inside. You know what? I was molested. Yes, that's an event that happened, and it is a terrible, terrible thing. But you still believe, like that little child who was hurt so deeply, and you still believe whatever you were told, that you're still that person. You know, we could have gone on all day picking signs. And I guess the question here is, what's your sign? What is the thing that you believe of yourself? What is the thing that someone has told you, perhaps at an early age? Well, I'm going to use myself as an example here. When I was a young man, I was told, big boys don't cry. And from the age of 9 years old until approximately 20, and you can ask my wife on this, I didn't cry. Because big boys don't cry. You know what? I thank God that He broke me to where I could cry. Because it took God. When my grandmother passed away, I wept like a baby. Why? Why do we do things that injure others so deeply that they carry signs around? Imagine if I had a big sign that's a crybaby. You know, I would believe from that age, if I cried and anybody saw me, well, then you're just a big crybaby. You're less than a man because big boys don't cry. In 1984, National Geographic put out a magazine that showed the color photos and drawings of the destruction of the Roman city of Pompeii in 79 BC. The explosion of Mount Vesuvius was so sudden that the residents were killed while in their normal routines. Men and women were at the market. The rich were in their luxurious baths where slaves were at toil to serve them. They died amid volcanic ash and superheated gases. Family pets were no different. They suffered the same quick and final fate. It doesn't take a lot to imagine the picture of that day. The saddest part of the whole event was the fact that they didn't have to die. Scientists confirm what ancient writers recorded: weeks of constant rumblings and shakings preceded the actual explosion. Even when the ominous plume of smoke began to rise from the mountain, the people continued life as normal, business as usual. Even though the signs were there, they continued to press on. Kind of makes you think about Noah building that ark. What are you building, Noah? I'm building an ark. What's an ark? It's a big boat. Why are you building an ark? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? You got to remember, they didn't have rain. Well, the earth is going to be flooded. Yeah, right. Repent. Turn back now. I'm telling you. And year after year after year after year, he plugged on building that ark. He and his sons. And year after year after year, he kept giving them the sign. Talk to the hand, Noah. Got no time for this. You're talking silliness. Those people in Pompeii, they had never experienced a volcanic eruption before. Hey, something's wrong. Look at the mountain. It's all right. It's never happened before. Just like the mountain rumbled during the days of Pompeii, our world is in a state of rumbling now. Warfare, earthquakes, nuclear threat from third world countries who acquire their weapons from former Soviet states, economic collapse, breakdown of family and moral standards. These aren't anything new, are they? But they do point to a coming day of judgment. Let me read just a few things here from Matthew chapter 24. And if you have your Bibles, please turn there with me. And here the disciples are saying, "Hey, Jesus, check out these buildings. Are these fine or what?" And Jesus told them in verse 2, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Hey, hold on. Never happened before, ain't going to happen. He gave them the sign. Thank you. So, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, what will these things be? Here you go. Are you ready for it? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered to him and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Stop right there. Already in South America, you have a man who claims to be Jesus Christ. And people are following him by the hordes. He drinks, he smokes, he cusses, he is a philanderer, he's running with women all hours of the night, and they're lining up to do so. Because he's Jesus Christ. He's not the Jesus Christ. He's not Jesus the Christ. He's not the Son of God. How can you be so deceived? And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're not hearing that, are we? See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Now listen to this. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated in all nations for my name's sake. Have you read of any Christians in other countries who have been delivered up and killed? Oh, you have? Yeah, so you're saying there are people being martyred for the name of Jesus Christ. So they are being delivered up and killed for his name's sake. And then many will be offended. Oh, goodness, don't get on that offense kick. I hate it when you do that. Every time I think you're talking to me. That's the spirit of offense we're talking about. Many will be offended. Some of us look for a reason to be offended. If that person looks at me that way one more time, fact is they're looking past you. They don't even notice you. But if you want to be offended, go ahead. But look at the next part of that. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. We don't have that in our society today, do we? Do we have it in the church? Never mind, we won't go there. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Didn't we speak about that already? And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Do we even need to say anything on that? And I'm saving verse 13, so we're going to skip that. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Deceiving spirits, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Oh, by the way, did y'all hear about those tornadoes that hit in New York? In the Bronx? Hey, tornadoes don't hit in the Bronx, you know what I'm saying? We don't need to worry about no tornadoes. That's a Midwestern thing. We don't do that. Guess what? In the Bronx. In the last 10 years, they've had like 3. And then they get 2 in 2 days. Tornadoes. What's a tornado, dude? You know? Guess what? Tornadoes. There's your sign. Don't think for a minute that God's not showing us something. The spirit of offense will cause many to betray one another. Lawlessness will abound, and love of many will grow cold. And Jesus continues to give us warnings. Give us signs of the things to come. Now here comes the good part. Go back to verse 13 if you have your Bible open. But he who endures to the end shall die. That's not what it says. Shall be saved. Guess what? I believe that's a sign. He's saying, persevere. Stay the course. Don't give up. Well, Lord, I'd really like to, but I was molested as a child. Folks, I don't make light of this. It is a very evil, traumatic experience. I do not make light of it. But we've got to understand. Come on, say it, girl. God is bigger. God is bigger. Look at your sign. Hold it up. Hold up your sign. God is bigger than all these, isn't he? You want a sign? Okay, here you go. You ready? Here's your sign. Here's your sign right here. The Word of God is your sign. Well, I just have a hard time reading that. Sometimes I do too, especially when I'm being lazy, when I'm bitter, when I focus on the things that's happened in the past, when I'm angry, when I just feel like being rebellious. And you know the funny thing? When I've done something wrong, I took something that didn't belong to me, then I withdraw from my Savior, and I withdraw from His Word because I don't want Him. I don't want him telling me what to do. Go back to rebellious again, right next to thief. Imagine. So, it's a fact, though, that we do it. When we do those things that we know are not pleasing to God, we withdraw from his word. And then when things get so bad we can't take it anymore, what do? Oh, Lord, help me. But we serve a God who hears our cry. And yet again, he forgives us of our sin, picks us up, dusts us off. But here's the problem with that. He takes our little sign off, and he throws it away. We say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, so much. Thank you, thank you. And before we leave, we bend over and we put our little sign back up and we put it back around our neck so we can go, woe is me. Hold on. There's something wrong with that. Because you see, the Bible tells me that when you're bitter, stand up, girl. When you're bitter and you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved and you will become that new creation. So you see, when you become that new creation, you don't need that bitterness anymore. And when you're a liar and you call on the name of Jesus, those lies are no more. We're going to wait on that one. Now, when you're a thief, that's where he draws a line. He doesn't draw a line there? No, he doesn't. He said, now hold on. What do you mean you're a thief? I've forgiven you of that. But Lord, you know what they did to me. Yes, son, I know what they did to you. But that's gone. Folks, I want to tell you something. Out of all the hurts that people suffer, that's probably one of the worst. That's probably one of the worst. When a child's innocence is taken away from them, by someone who says they love them. But I want to tell you something. The God of the universe loves you more than any human being ever could, and his love is more than enough to get you through it. You are not someone who was molested. You are a child of the Most High God, and his strength is more than sufficient to get you through it. His power is readily available to you if you will just call on his name. We all want a sign. You know what's so bad is so many times the signs that we carry with us are signs we've given ourselves. I didn't have one made up. But maybe I should have had one made up that just said, gorgeous. I'm so gorgeous, everybody wants me. No, that would be deception. But we do. We start to believe things about ourselves that just absolutely are not true. We have people that believe that they're God's gift to the world. And you know what? The truth is you are, but not in the state you're in. When we allow ourselves to think more highly of ourselves than we should, that's the very time that you need to repent, because you're actually in a state of rebellion. She's going, thank goodness, get this off my neck. At least you're not still angry. So God cuts that off. You can throw it on the floor. That's where it belongs. Do not pick those up when you leave. What's amazing about it? Mills back there in the back going, I don't want to be a cheat no more. What's amazing is the fact that as we go through life, if we continue to believe the things we are, hold on. But she's an adulterer. Do you know how many families have been destroyed by adultery? But there is a God who can overcome even that. There is a God who says yes. But when you knelt down, or you fell on your bed, or you just cried out to me as you drove down the road with tears flowing from your eyes and said, dear God, forgive me. That's when I came up and I said, no more. You know what? In fact, it's almost like he's sitting there saying, you think you're worthless, but you don't know the plans I have for you. Oh, if you only knew, you couldn't handle it. Murderer, murderer, honey, you ain't murdered nobody, because see, I forgave you for that. When you knelt down in that prison cell and you begged me to forgive you, you became clean. You became new, that new creation. You don't hold that anymore. You can't claim that anymore. Well, but you don't know what I'm dealing with. Are you bigger than God? No. What do you mean you're a cheat? No, you're not. Have you been going around doing those things that you used to do? Well, I try not to. Well, try a little harder. If you're doing them, try a little harder. Call on me a little more. Look for the sign. Get in there and look for the sign and let's see what happens. Because I'll tell you what. When you do, you're going to find your life is changing. Here's the biggest reason. Who else has a sign? Angry and lazy. Come here, lazy. I want to tell you something. That's what you call your dog? Well, she ain't your dog and she ain't lazy, so you can get rid of that too. That woman will work two men in the ground. Look at her. She's still going, mine? Hello? It's not often I'm in this situation, so I'm kind of enjoying this. John 8 and 36. If you got your Bibles, turn there. I want to hear you all read it with me. And she's eagerly waiting. Scissors clipping, but they're not there yet. Can you all help her? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God. You know what? On that one, let's give him a hand clap of praise. Yes. Hallelujah. Light and dark cannot mix. Fresh water and salt water cannot mix. People say, yes, it can. It becomes brackish water. No, it becomes salty water. So guess what? When you allow the darkness in, you're no longer following the light. So what do you do? Well, I stumbled and Ronnie, talk on it. Quit bringing your skateboard to church. It's not a real one. So, when you find yourself, maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you slipped up. Maybe you started dwelling on that thing that God has delivered you from. That's the time that you say, Lord, forgive me, I'm doing it again. You have delivered me from that. You have given me forgiveness from that. You have delivered me from the pain of that experience. Forgive me for going back there. Help me to let go. Please, Lord, help me to be more like you. Not once in the Bible do I read where Jesus goes, you know, yeah, I know I'm God's son and everything, but, you know, I just feel like sometimes I'm just not good enough. What do you think about all of his brothers? How do you think they felt? Why can't you be more like your brother? He's the Messiah. Yeah. Yeah, come on. But think about that. Jesus didn't do it. You say, well, yeah, but he was God. He was fully God and fully man. Fully God, fully man. I want to tell you something. When he stepped out of the kingdom of God down to this earth, there were things that he freely gave up. He chose to live as a man. Oh, you want to get a debate going in the church? Tell them Jesus had bad breath. How dare you, you sinner! He was fully man. He perspired. If he was in my bloodline instead of me being in his, he had some stinky feet. Folks, I'm going to tell you, just about everybody had stinky feet then, because remember, the animals walked on the same path they did. You'll figure that out later. But the point is, he was fully man. He had the option to fail just like we did. But what was the difference? He knew who he was, and he knew who he served. Let me say that one again. And he knew whom he served. Hello. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. We've already said this once. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Did that wake anybody up? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Did I not say that he was fully God? So God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It is easy to be bitter and angry and rebellious and all these other things and feel that we have a right to be that way. But it's not right. If we profess to be a child of God, when Christ came in and began, the Holy Spirit began to live within us, and we accepted Christ as our Savior, at that point, we should have the spirit of reconciliation. It should not be, but I'm better than them. It should not be, but I remember what they did to me. It should be, God can help you because he helped me. We don't need to be caught up in the mindset of looking at others for our guidance. We need to be caught up in the mindset of looking for our signs from Christ. He was our example of what we need to be. All those things that used to be should used to be. God's forgiven us of our sins. Cast those sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Put up a no fishing sign. Quit getting a license. Oh, my license has expired. I got to go buy a new one. No, you don't. Not in this case. Stay out of there. He's telling you, I've forgiven you. I've given you a better spirit through Christ Jesus. Reconcile. Don't hold that grudge. I used to be the world's worst at holding a grudge. I've given the example before. When Jody and I first got married, we were driving through my hometown, and guy just waving away. Jody said, that guy's waving at you. I said, I know. You know him? Yeah. Won't you wave at him? I don't like him. Why? Because something happened in the fifth grade. What? I don't remember, but I know I don't like him. Really? You know, I say it now and I think, God, how stupid was I? Apparently pretty dense. But that was the mindset. I felt like I had a right to be angry at him. Do you think that man knew that I was angry at him? No. Hey, Tim! Yeah. I've been carrying something since I was so young and didn't even remember what it was about. I just remembered I was mad at him. And you know what? We still do it today. I hear people all the time come in and go, "That's that stinking sister of mine, I'll never talk to her again." Okay, go ahead and go to hell. What? Oh, I'd love to be able to say that. I really would. Okay, so you've chosen hell over that. Okay, cool. Have a good burn. That's a barbecue you don't want to go to. All right? When we choose to have our way over the right way, we're choosing hell over God. We're choosing hell over heaven. We're choosing Satan over God. We're choosing to do it our way. Remember the old Burger King commercials? Have it your way. I don't want it my way. I want it his way. He's got a better plan. My way keeps getting me into trouble. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The thing which divided us or separated us from God, when we accepted Christ, it's been reconciled. If he then forgives us and reconciled with us, whom we don't deserve, then he expects us to reconcile with those around us whom we hold a grudge or we hold a bitterness to. He then has said, it's okay because they deserve it. No, 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 no. What's he say about forgiveness? That if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven? You think that's a sign? Forgive or hell? What if you saw that? Forgive or hell? You think you'd pay attention to it? I'd like to think you would. Now, all the signs are on the ground, right? Is that correct? Now, for all of us, not the sign I gave you, but the one that you carry with you, I want you to think about it. What is it you believe of yourself? What is it someone has told you and you've carried it around all these years? You're not good enough. You're ugly. You're fat. Well, okay. Anyway, here's the thing. Whatever it is, right now, every person in this place, I want you to reach up and grab that sign that you've been carrying around all these years. Come on. Everybody. Reach up and grab the sign. Pull it off. And throw it on the floor. Because it's not true. It is not true. Well, I'm just a coward. I'm stupid. I can't do anything right. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. What's that? Power and love and a sound mind? Doesn't sound like me. That fits the clue there. Oh, I'm just ugly. Excuse me? You're ugly? Genesis 1 and 27 says we are made in God's image. So you're saying God is ugly? Chew on that one for a while. Put that in your mental Rolodex, and when somebody says, oh, you're so ugly, say, really? I'm made in God's image. What about you? You don't matter. You're not important. You're insignificant. What did we just read? We are ambassadors for Christ. How many ambassadors do you see in the political arena that they come into town and nobody notices? No, they take them to the finest hotels. They set them up. They feed them the best food. They treat them as royalty because they represent something significant. What do you represent that is significant? Folks, if you represent Jesus Christ, there's nothing more significant than that. You can have every political position known to the man, and it doesn't matter compared to representing, being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I could go on all day. Here's a sign you can put on. Here's your sign. Here's your sign for the day. Redeemed. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what? When the Satan comes knocking on your door, ask Jesus to answer it. Say, hold on, time out. Devil, I may have done that at one time, but that's a thing of the past because God has forgiven me of that. I am redeemed. I am blood-bought, sanctified. I am doing the work of Christ because I am redeemed. No longer will I allow you to control my mind. No longer will I allow you to damage my relationships with other people because of my anger, because of my rebelliousness. Because, yes, at one time I was a thief. At one time I was a cheat. At one time I did many things wrong. But now I serve the Lord God Almighty, and I stand on His grounds, not on yours. No longer. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. and we have the authority to do so. Here's your sign. You are redeemed. If you have called on the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are redeemed. You are that new creation, and no one can take that away from you. I want you to bow your heads today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us freedom through the blood of Christ. You have delivered us from the oppression of Satan. You have delivered us from the lies that we have accepted throughout the years. You have forgiven us of our sins. But now, Lord, I would be remiss if I ended this service and not ask. If there's anyone here today, Lord, maybe they accepted you and through the years they just kind of walked away from you, Lord. And they just want to make sure that it's right. Or maybe they don't know you. The truth is, many people in the church today come and go, but they don't have a relationship with you. So I'm asking right now, Lord, open the hearts and the minds of the people. Show them what you see. Show them what you see, Lord. Your word is our sign. Touch their hearts. Is there anyone here today who would say, I want to know Christ better? I'm not sure whether I'm going to make it to heaven or not. Anyone? Is there anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Seeing no hands, we're going to conclude this service. Father, as we depart from here, we pray your blessings upon the meeting for the ladies, that, Lord, the meeting will go well, that they can accomplish the task that they need, and that through it, Lord, a new growth, a new chapter of their life is started through this women's conference that's coming up. We ask you, Lord, that you will help us in our work day next week on Saturday, that, Father, we will all come out and make an effort to remove the things that are not of God. Those things that have been discarded, just as the labels on the ground, those things that have been discarded, those things that are no longer used, let us remove them, that they are no longer a hindrance. They're no longer taking a space in the church or in our hearts. Let us work together to glorify this temple, that it glorifies you. We praise you, we thank you, we ask for your blessing upon this church, upon our pastors, and upon this congregation, and all those churches that serve you, Lord. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ladies, please stay behind. Be a very short meeting, and then you'll be released. Men, we can hit the road.